Welcome to True Crime Garage. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Nick, and with me, as always, is a guy that is fully aware of my axe-throwing skills, and that is that I have none. He is the captain.
It always helps if you wear a little flannel, my friend. It's good to be seen, and it's good to see you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend.
Tonight we are drinking Little Heaven Sessions IPA by Two Roads Brewing Company in Stratford, Connecticut, garage grade, 4 1/4 bottle caps out of 5. This is a Sessions IPA in a can made with 3 exotic hops, with tropical fruits, specifically passion fruit, grapefruit, and apricots.
Passion.
And this little piece of heaven was brought to us by our good friends. First up, we have Megan and Brittany in Salt Lake City.
And a big shout out to Harley in Renton, Washington.
Also in Washington, our friend Nicholas at Lake Stevens.
Gotta watch out for those Nicholases. And big, we like your jib to Annie in Quebec.
And here we go, Captain, a cheers to Regan in Austin, Texas. And last but not least, we have our friends Russ and Janelle in the beautiful Parts Unknown. Thanks, everybody, for filling up the fridge for this week's show. Please help us out with next week's show by going to truecrimegarage.com and click on the donate button.
And a quick PSA for Parts Unknown. The shitter's full.
Well, somebody needs to empty it, Captain. That's enough of the business. Everybody gather around. Grab a chair, grab a beer. Let's talk some true crime. When an adult goes missing without a trace, often families struggle to get law enforcement to take the case of their loved one's disappearance seriously and urgently. Adults, after all, are capable of making their own decisions, leading their own lives without answering to others. As adults, we have the freedom to take off at a moment's notice, and the freedom to make drastic decisions, some that can lead to devastating consequences. It is the missing person's family that is left behind to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Some families have been left searching forever. We have heard so many times that mother will always leave the light on for you, but parents, brothers, and sisters sometimes pass away, never knowing what happened to their loved one. All of their questions go unanswered. Don't let this be one of those cases. William Paul Smolinski, Jr. was born January 14, 1973. He went by the name of Billy. His missing flyers describe him as a Caucasian male, 6 foot tall, 200 pounds, with brown hair and blue eyes. He had a pierced left ear, a tattoo of a blue cross on his left shoulder, and a tattoo on his forearm that read Pruitt. Pruitt. The last reported sighting of him was August 24th, 2004, at his home in Waterbury, Connecticut. Billy Smolinski was 31 years old when he disappeared. This is True Crime Garage. At the time of his disappearance, Billy Smolinski lived in Waterbury, a working-class town located about a half hour from Hartford, Connecticut. Billy worked 3 jobs, and he loved wrenching on cars. Captain, there are several problems with Billy's disappearance, but the one of most concern is plain and simply this. Since Billy disappeared without a trace, and foul play is suspected, no one can be 100% certain who was the last person to see him or to talk to him. Lots of people could have motivation to lie about their last contact with Billy. Some things have been verified by police, which we will indicate when we discuss them, but the general facts, according to Billy's family, friends, and police reports, are these. On Tuesday, August 24th, Billy purchased a meal at a Burger King restaurant. in Waterbury, Connecticut. He ordered Burger King's signature hamburger, the Whopper. I'm getting hungry for lunch here. And he got a cheeseburger, medium fries, and a Coca-Cola. The receipt for this meal was time-stamped 2:59 p.m. According to police reports, at around 5 p.m. on August 24th, Billy knocked on the door of his neighbor, this is Roy Henley, and said the following, "I'm heading up north," and I put that in air quotes there, "up north, for 3 days to look at a car that I'm considering buying. Could you please look after Harley?" Now, Harley is Billy's beloved German Shepherd. Billy told the neighbor where he had placed a key to the house so that Roy could get in and feed the dog and let the dog out. Now, according to Roy, he and Billy also briefly discussed Billy's very fresh breakup with his girlfriend. After this conversation with Roy, Billy returned home, and Roy never saw him after that. So, let's stop here, Captain, and think about this story for a second. Billy was known to buy and fix up old cars, so this story makes some sense.
Is there any animosity between him and his neighbor?
Well, I think the thought here is this would be the reported last sighting of Billy that we would know of, okay? And the thought here is there's foul play suspected against Billy. And that's why we believe he's still missing to this day. Now, who was the perpetrator of that? We don't know. So therefore, if Roy had been somebody to have done something to him, then he could have fabricated the story that, hey, he came over and asked me to watch the dog.
Right, but is there evidence or not of animosity between the two?
Okay, so I don't know how much animosity there would have been, other than we have some reports of two things. One, Billy, it wouldn't be common for him to ask somebody to watch his dog for him. So that seems odd. And two, there are people that say Billy didn't really care for Roy. And that's about as much of a description as we have about the relationship between the two. Now, we all know, you know, you live next to people, you have friends, you have family. There are times that there are people that you like in the long run, but you may have a bad day with them from time to time. And maybe you just tell somebody, hey, don't really care for Roy. You know, maybe you just had a bad day with Roy, and Roy's actually pretty fine, and your relationship together is pretty fine overall.
Well, sometimes, especially with neighbors, you can have a neighbor that's very friendly and a good neighbor and a good person. But because they're always in a good mood, you're like, yeah, this guy's okay.
Well, the other thing, though, too, that's tricky here is why would it take 3 days? He says, hey, can you watch my dog? And I need you to watch him for 3 days. Why does it take 3 days for him to just go simply check out a car that he's thinking of purchasing?
Do we have any more reports of Billy telling anybody else that he's going to go check out a car?
No, we do not. But I think the thing that's tough here is that he doesn't really give a great description of where he may be going. So maybe that is why it's going to take 3 days, because, you know, simply saying I'm going up north is not a great description of where he is heading to find this car.
I have a lot of buddies that buy cars and flip them or do some repairs on them and then sell them. And it's, you know, when you get a lead or a bite on something, you have to go immediately. So it could be something that Billy found out about 20 minutes before he decided, hey, I'm going to go talk to my neighbor and see if he can watch the dog.
So the next morning around 10 a.m., Roy went to Billy's house to let Harley out. But the key was not where Billy said he would have left it. So Roy was locked out of Billy's house. He couldn't get in to take care of the dog. So Roy went back to his home and called Mary Ellen Noble.
And this is Billy's ex-girlfriend.
Yes, and I'm guessing that Roy would have had her phone number in case of an emergency with the dog. Maybe it was left with him that night. I don't, or maybe he had it on file, let's say, because of the dog. And I think it'll become clear later while he might have had that number. So alarm bells immediately went off in Mary Ellen's mind. She called Billy's sister, Paula, who called her mother, Jan. All of them, the three of them, are trying to contact Billy. None of them ever get a hold of him. The two decide to meet at Billy's house. So this is his sister and his mother. And when they arrive, they become more concerned.
Yeah, they become more concerned because his pickup truck, he has a white pickup truck, which you assume he'd be using to drive up north, is parked in his driveway. But it's also parked oddly because it's really close to the street.
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the driveway. So the mother and sister are alarmed. And according to them, Billy leaving Harley in the hands of the neighbor was completely out of character. So on top of that, he neglected to leave a key. Remember, he said he was going to leave a key. This was so the dog could be let out. And
yeah,
he didn't do that.
Right, but this does not rule out the fact that he is leaving in a hurry for some reason, and he just forgets to leave the key for the neighbor. Again, odd that the neighbor is watching the dog, but not that odd if you have to go immediately for some unknown reason.
Right. According to the family, his dog was his best friend. And according to his ex-girlfriend, Mary Ellen, Billy didn't even like Roy. Now, we don't have a great description of what that means or a good understanding of what that means. We just have one person with the very simple statement of, I don't even think Billy liked Roy.
Right.
So Paula and Jan, they went to the police station at Waterbury to file a missing persons report. Police listened to their story, particularly the part about the neighbor saying that Billy had said he was leaving to go out of town for 3 days. And the two ladies were told, hey, you're going to have to wait 72 hours to file this report.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's aggravating after the fact. Because we sit here today knowing that he's still missing. But at the same time, like we kind of talked about in the trailer, this guy's 31 years old. If he says, I'm going out of town for 3 days, I think the police are saying, look, you might just be having a hard time getting a hold of the guy. I understand that he did some things out of character, but he's allowed to leave to go out of town. Why don't we become concerned when he doesn't reappear after this trip? The troubling things, though, like we said, Roy's story being the only story we have is a little troubling. The dog thing is troubling in the sense of this. Mary Ellen and Billy had got that dog together. They got Harley together when they were in their long-term relationship. And so the way that this kind of worked is they jokingly said, hey, after they split up, they remained friends and they said, hey, we got joint custody of our dog, Harley.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that the dog primarily lived with Billy, but if he were to go out of town or need someone to take care of the dog, Mary Ellen was his go-to. Like that was the regular thing. She wanted the dog at her house. She wanted to help out with the dog, take care of the dog. And so everybody found it very strange that Billy would choose Roy, who we have the ex-girlfriend saying that he might not have really cared for Roy,
mm-hmm.
over this designated spot that the dog would often go to be taken care of regularly.
Very strange, but again, to play devil's advocate, we have a situation where maybe Billy had to leave immediately, and maybe he didn't want his ex to know where he was going.
So we have a situation where they're not going to take the police report for 72 hours. So his mother and sister are going to return to Billy's home to look for clues. They're kind of on their own. They're going to try to piece this together by themselves. This is when they found the Burger King receipt, which was located. They found it in a trash can, timestamped 2:59, the day that he was last seen.
Right.
The house was neat and nothing appeared to have been disturbed, according to them. They called his friend, this man's name is Chris, who lived in New Hampshire, because he was the only friend that they could think of who lived, quote, up north, where Billy had told Roy he was headed. Chris had not heard from Billy. The biggest part of this investigation, to me, Captain, is Billy, because always, you know, the possibility in these cases is Billy could be the reason that we can't find Billy.
Mm-hmm.
So none of his family has ever acknowledged the possibility that Billy would ever voluntarily disappear to start a new life or harm himself.
I got a question, because back to this truck.
Mm-hmm.
So this white truck, his pickup truck, that's his main vehicle, or does he have is that his main vehicle and he has multiple vehicles. I mean, if he's selling or fixing up cars, then one would assume that he has access to other vehicles.
I believe he has two vehicles, one being the truck, and I think the other is either a motorcycle or a dirt bike.
Okay.
So here's the thing. And God bless all the motorcyclists out there. God bless you. Actually, I hung out with a guy last weekend. Listen, this is craziness. Mm-hmm. This is borderline insanity. The guy drove on his motorcycle, rode his motorcycle to and from Alaska from Ohio.
Nice.
That's one hell of a trip, but like that seems incredibly dangerous to me.
Well,
but what I meant to be saying though is, under this assumption with the motorcycle and the dirt bike possibility, I think that was located at his home in his garage.
Okay, I was going to say, because one could assume you pull the truck out just enough where you can get the motorcycle around, and when you go to take off, you're just like, I'm not going to pull my truck in. I'll be back in a couple days. But if you find his motorcycle at his house, then what did he take?
His truck was his main source of transportation and believed to have been the vehicle he would have chosen for this three-day trip.
Right, but hold on a second. If you have to go pick up a car, if you like the car and you don't want it towed, then maybe you could drive something. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe what he was going to go look at was a truck, and he could throw the motorcycle in the back of the truck. Just throwing it out there.
No, I get you, but that vehicle's not missing.
Right, but what I'm saying is we have a guy that deals with vehicles. So I'm just wondering, all my buddies that sell vehicles, I could not tell you how many vehicles they have at a single time.
Oh, I see what you mean. That there could have been some other vehicle.
I mean, I'd pull up at my buddy's house that sells cars, and there's two new cars that week.
Right.
You know, or two motorcycles in the garage.
Well, then.
Or one time, they got back from a trip from Indiana, and they bought eight motorcycles. Who buys eight motorcycles?
A possibility, but if this were the case, it would have to be an unregistered vehicle to him. But regarding him harming himself or taking off, starting a new life, like I said, his family, they do not seem to think that that's a possibility, given what they know about their son and their brother. The questionable thing here, though, is that he recently had some turmoil in his personal life. We know this because he was talking to Roy about how he had just recently broke up with a girlfriend. And this is not the girlfriend that was going to take care of the dog.
Right.
This is a different girlfriend. Okay, so Billy had personally relayed to his sister the following information in the day or two leading up to his disappearance. Billy was seeing a woman named Madeline Gleason. The two had been dating for about a year. They met when they both worked at a school bus. They were school bus drivers for a company called B&B Transportation. This is a huge busing company. Madeline was 16 years older than Billy. She had been married three times and had five children from these different relationships. She was a little rough around the edges, and I'm using other people's description of her. Billy's family was not a big fan of hers. They did not see what he saw in her. They much preferred Billy's ex of 8 years, Mary Ellen, who we've discussed already. Mary Ellen and Billy had broken up just before he started dating Madeline, and his parents said outright that they still had hope that Mary Ellen would one day be their daughter-in-law. Mary Ellen and Billy had adopted Harley together, as we said, as a puppy, and they considered that they had this joint custody of the dog. Mary Ellen would later say that him leaving the dog with anybody other than her would just flat out never happen.
So Roy is just a flaming pile of dog shit.
Well, I don't think we can say that for certain, but what we should point out is this. Okay, the information that he gave to his sister.
Well, I'm just saying, she said he'd never leave the dog with anybody but her.
Well,
and he did. Roy killed him.
During the course of the relationship with Madeline, Billy was committed to her and to her young son. who was about 14 at the time. There were reports that he had planned on having the two of them move in with him at some point. Paula and Jan told police that Billy had gone with Madeline to Florida the week before he had vanished, despite the fact that he hated to fly and never took vacations. Billy's parents said despite his anxiety about flying and traveling in general, he was excited about this trip. He even came over to their home to borrow their luggage to use on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And this trip was going to be to visit one of Madeline's older sons who was about Billy's age. This is her son, Tom. True to their agreement.
Say what? The son is the same age as Billy.
Yeah, she's 16 years older than Billy. True to their agreement, Mary Ellen had Harley for the days that Billy was in Florida on this vacation. According to Mary Ellen, she spoke to Billy from Florida and said that he told her that he had noticed that his girlfriend was receiving phone calls on her cell phone and was hiding these calls from him. He became suspicious that Madeline was seeing somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Ellen told one story that Billy had caught her standing in the shower, pretending to shower, but secretly on the phone. Madeline was on the phone with another man. The way that Madeline told the story in court later, Billy had snatched the phone from her and went through the call log and the contacts on her phone.
Look, I'm just going to put this out there. Been there, done that. Did the whole disappearing cell phone trick. Did the whole who's texting you bit. If you're at that point where you have to ask, just get up, walk away. Get up and walk away.
Well, that's pretty much what happens because she admits that she is seeing somebody. She's seeing a married man. This is a businessman from Connecticut. And Billy and her broke up and returned to Connecticut this on Sunday, August 22nd. And they went their separate ways. Both Mary Ellen and Paula said that Billy talked to both of them the day after he got back.
Okay.
He told them both he was through with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he told his boss, you know, mind you, he's working several jobs at Durable Towing, that he was absolutely devastated by this whole thing. Like I said, there's every indication to believe that he was having her and her son move in with him relatively soon. They were going to take the relationship
one
to
of
the
her
next
sons,
level.
Though. She had five children.
Correct.
So there's only one that's young enough
to be
move
in her care.
In? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was 14 years old. Now, we don't know if Jan or Paula called Madeline to ask if she had seen or heard from Billy. If they did, they likely heard this story from her. This is what she had told police after Billy had disappeared. All of this is recorded in the police report. She said Billy called her home on the night of Monday, August 23rd, but she had not picked up. Then at 4 or 5 a.m. on the morning of Tuesday, August 24th, the day that he vanished, Billy set a ladder next to her window at her home and attempted to climb in the window. She ended up letting him in through the door. And they talked for about an hour. We don't really know what was said or where the two left things. But later she told police that Billy wanted to get back together and he still wanted the two of them to move in with him, according to their plan. You know, stick with the plan. She told him she needed time to think about it. And he left, as she put it, he appeared to be depressed when he left. It's likely he left her home because of three phone calls made from his home later that day. These calls appeared on Billy's call records and were found in the course of a police warrant. They all were placed between 11:44 a.m. and 11:58 a.m. Now, the three calls that were made were all to the same number. And that was of Chris Swarenson, who is a kind of a low-level politician. He was the businessman that was having the affair with Madeline. So he's a prominent businessman, too. He's pretty well-to-do. Chris and Billy would likely have known each other as well, because Chris was involved with he owned a trucking company. So it's thought that their paths would have crossed at some point just through their lines of work.
Right.
Chris's father, Christopher, was a business partner with Billy's boss at the bus company. So another link there. The Waterbury Observer calls Chris Swornson a quote, an elected public official with power and influence. Now, the first two calls of those three calls, they were both hangups. But the third call, there was a message. And a message was left. Once police began to consider Billy's disappearance a serious case, they questioned Swornson about Billy and confiscated the answering machine tape. The message said, quote, Chris, you better watch your back at all times. Chris denied knowing who had made the calls. The message was left anonymously. So after these phone calls and then the conversation with the neighbor, which took place much later in the day, no one has admitted to ever seeing or hearing from Billy again.
Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey, a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story. It takes you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. You'll step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Use your observation skills to quickly uncover key pieces of information that lead to chapters of mystery, danger, and romance. And customize your very own luxurious estate island. Think expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. Collect scraps of information to fill your photo album and learn more about each character. And you can chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
All right, cheers. How are you doing tonight, Colonel?
Cheers to you, Captain. After 72 hours had elapsed, Jan and Paula were finally able to file a missing persons report, and they did so close to midnight on August 27th. The authorities then searched Billy's home, and as stated, nothing seemed amiss. They searched his truck, but they did not check for fingerprints, despite the family insisting that it was parked in an inconsistent manner. Police did test the house, garage, and truck for signs of blood, but found none. Bizarrely, according to the Waterbury Observer, several days after Billy vanished, Billy's truck was broken into in the middle of the night, and papers were strewn about the cab. It's unknown whether this is a coincidence. Theft is a problem in this area.
Right.
So it could have just been a coincidence. As for the neighbor, Roy, per his statement about Billy saying he was leaving, was apparently believed by investigators and prevented them from considering foul play early in this investigation. The police interviewed Roy on August 31st, according to the report, and we have to hope that they have reason to believe that he is not in any way involved, since he's never been labeled a suspect or person of interest. One piece of information that the family has never revealed, but that was in a police report, was that Billy had been fired that day from his job at Midland HVAC.
How was he fired? Was he fired in person?
Yes, he was fired in person.
So he went to work. He gets fired. Then at some point he goes to his ex-girlfriend's house that she's seeing another man. She's seeing this Chris guy. He then comes back to his house between...
No. So they sent someone to his home. The company sent somebody to his home to retrieve... He drove a truck for them, an HVAC truck.
Mm-hmm.
It was a company's truck. And so they sent someone to his home on the morning of the 24th, And at that time, they collected the truck and Billy was given a pink slip.
And why was he fired?
Well, we don't know the motivation behind this firing. One news report attributed it to a slow season, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense for HVAC company in August or the...
Yeah, but I mean, it's very possible.
Could be.
Any trade is going to have layoffs. So mm-hmm. I could see that being a possibility. The problem becomes if it's just a layoff, somebody like Billy that works in that field is going to go, this happens. Mm-hmm. But if it's not that, then this just adds fuel to the depression, the conflict he's having with his ex-girlfriend.
Well, yeah. And that's what's going to be troubling for detectives. And what's going to make it hard for them to have maybe a proper investigation early on, because they hear about his recent breakup. They hear that he's been laid off or fired from Midland. And they didn't say it outwardly, but they're kind of implying to the family that suicide might have to be considered or that mm-hmm. Billy had taken off.
Okay, let's run this down really quick. So in the morning, somebody sends over somebody to his house to fire Billy. They take back their truck, their work truck. At some point, he goes to his ex-girlfriend's house. He puts a ladder up to the window. He tries to...
That happened the night before.
Okay, that happened the night before. So the night before, he goes and confesses his love. He wants to make it work. She says, I have to think about it. He wakes up in the morning. He's fired. Mm-hmm. At some point, he makes calls to Chris.
Just before noon.
Which is the guy... Three calls, two hangups, one message.
One message that could be considered a threatening message, too.
Right. And then, so that's between 11:44 and 12 o'clock.
By noon, all three calls have happened.
And at some point, then he goes to Burger King, and that receipt is at 2:59.
Correct.
And then what time does he go talk to Roy?
Around 5 o'clock.
Around 5 o'clock. And then what time does Roy say that he... That's just the last he talked to Billy. He didn't actually see Billy leave his house.
Yeah, and Roy didn't really let anybody know that anything could be wrong because he didn't realize anything was wrong until 10 a.m. the next morning when he goes to let the dog out. And he can't get into the home. He can't find the key. So he calls the ex-girlfriend, Mary Ellen.
So what now?
Well, even though the police are kind of implying to Billy's family that suicide might be likely or that he may have taken off, the family isn't going to stop searching. They're going to ask the community and volunteers to come forward. And over the 3-day Labor Day weekend, 200 searchers starting at Billy's house fanned out through the greater Waterbury area looking for Billy or clues of what could have happened to him. Then, as the result of a tip, volunteers scoured every inch of the Naugatuck,
close enough,
river from Watertown to the Naugatuck area. They found homeless encampments and dead deer, but they never found Billy. Now, his sister Paula contacted a group called Dogs, D-A-W-G-S, Disaster and Wilderness Ground Searchers, Inc. Local law enforcement did work with the Dogs group following along in case anything was found that a member of law enforcement would be present at that time. But 10 days after Billy disappeared, his sister went down to police headquarters and she said, quote, I was a little snappy about, she was concerned about the lack of attention the police were giving to Billy's investigation. Now, at that time, after her going in there and kind of giving them the business, a new detective was placed.
Business.
Yeah, a new detective was placed on the case, and he went to Billy's house to have a look around. Within 15 minutes, the sergeant came back into the house with Billy's keys and Billy's wallet. Paula said he had found them tucked underneath the driver's seat in Billy's truck. The family took this discovery as a very, very bad sign. Billy could not have left of his own accord, they believed, without any money or a vehicle. So searches of Billy's bank accounts showed no activity after the August 24th purchase at the Burger King. In fact, one report says that he had just deposited his paycheck when he went missing. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Burger King, in the 3-day window when they were told to wait to see if Billy turned up, Jan and Paula had gone to that Burger King to try to view the surveillance tapes to see if there was anyone with Billy or what his mood appeared to be.
Right. And it also makes you just want a Whopper.
They were told that the tapes were erased after 24 hours and that they were too late, that they couldn't view anything. One interesting addition to the timeline was posted on an online chat forum, and this is by Billy's mother. She pointed out that Billy must have gone missing in the evening time. She said Harley could not have gone longer than 11 hours without making a mess in the house. And when Mary Ellen got to the home, this was around 10 a.m. on the morning of the 25th on August. Mm-hmm. So she's using that 10 o'clock marker as, if we backtrack this, it's got to be less than 11 hours from that time frame.
Yeah, I would agree with them on that. But here's what my gut is telling me, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, other than wanting Burger King, is we have a situation, mm-hmm. right? We have a Pauly D situation where he tells his neighbor that he, quote unquote, doesn't even like, hey, Roy, can you watch my dog? I'm going somewhere for a few days. Mm-hmm. By the way, don't check on my dog until the morning, and I'm going to leave a key for you underneath the mat. Now, I know that Roy, me being Billy, I know that Roy has the number to probably family or my ex-girlfriend that helps take care of the dog.
Right.
So when there is no key found, then he's going to make a phone call. Hey, there's this dog. He left. That gives him a heads up to get wherever he's going. Mm-hmm. And then we have another situation where you have this truck, his primary vehicle, and the keys, his keys and his wallet are underneath the seat.
Yeah.
Almost like he's leaving it for you. Almost like he's leaving, hey, anything in my wallet? It's yours. You can have it. And like we said, he sells vehicles. He buys vehicles. Is it possible that he had an unregistered vehicle of some kind in his garage? And that would be another reason why the truck would be pulled out a little bit so they could get the vehicle around. And he took off. And this was a way of taking off, possibly to commit suicide, and leaving everything in its place for people to find it.
Okay, let's work backwards through that. We'll start with the truck and then we'll get to the dog. Here are my thoughts. The keys in the wallet are found in his truck 10 days after he went missing. 3 days after he went missing, the truck is quote unquote broken into. So if the keys and wallet were in the truck at that time, those seem like items that somebody breaking into a truck would want to find. So either they didn't find them or those items weren't there when the truck was broken into.
Yeah, but didn't you say that they were underneath a seat?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what would make me think that the thief would not check underneath the seat. I mean, I can't say for certain that they would, but I don't see why not. Right. So what I'm going there with that, just keep that in mind. Just because the wallet and the keys are found in the truck, there are reasons why they may have been found there without Billy having left them there on purpose, mm-hmm. meaning one of two things. Either Billy was met with foul play and killed somewhere, disposed of somewhere, and they returned his truck to his home and stuffed the keys in the wallet underneath his seat, or Billy left them there, or did something happen to Billy, and then later at some point somebody goes, me having this wallet and these keys is a really bad idea. Maybe I should figure out what to do with them. Oh, I'll put them back in his truck.
Let me break in.
Right. Yeah. And then you know, I'll throw some trash all about the truck, and maybe police will just go, well, maybe we missed it. Maybe we just happened to miss that when we looked through the truck. Mm. I don't know that they really spent a good time looking through the truck at the first time that they showed up to the house. Okay. So if they did, and those items had been there the entire time, They couldn't have. They could not have done a good job searching the truck if those items were there the entire time, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, let's agree on that. At least we know that they did not do a very good search of his truck the first time. Mm-hmm. Now, regarding the dog, I believe the mom. And I know that other people are like, well, that seems weird that she would say 11 hours. No, 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 no. I think that's so honest. I know with my own experience with my dogs, when I go somewhere, often if I go somewhere just for like a quick overnight trip, I do have somebody show up and let my dogs out in the late evening and then again early in the morning.
Right.
I have a bit of a time marker where I know, hey, I don't want my dogs to be uncomfortable, and it starts to get a little uncomfortable for them after a certain period of time. I actually think a couple of things are going on here. Let's say the story that Roy provides us, that the neighbor provides us, is in fact true.
Yeah, and please believe him.
Well, if
again, and I understand that people are like, but he doesn't like Roy, but he might like, he might like Roy. He might said that offhanded. It could be a very nice neighbor. Billy either left in a hurry or he left with the purpose of not coming back. That's why he left the dog, you know. That's why he talked to Roy.
But that's kind of a conflicting statement there. And what I mean by this is the following. So for him to leave the dog with Roy would be out of character, right?
Yeah.
That from what everyone has said. So, but we have the situation where the dog is not, Roy doesn't show up to let the dog out until 10 a.m. What I would like to have a clear understanding of is, was that the time that he was instructed to show up? Mm-hmm. Hey, are you going to be home tomorrow? Sure. Could you come over around 9:30, 10 a.m. and let the dog out? Because if that was a time that was instructed, and this 11-hour marker of the dog making a mess in the house or being uncomfortable,
right?
Well, then that would indicate to me that Billy didn't leave the home until 11 p.m. that night.
Right, which is pretty late.
It's 6 hours after he all of a sudden has to leave the house in a hurry to the point where he's got to leave the dog with his neighbor. You see what I mean? If Billy knew that he was going to have a 5-6 hour time window before he had to leave, he would have left the dog with his ex-girlfriend. It's all very strange. I would like to know
maybe,
from Roy.
Right, but I think the problem with that is that if they have a pretty good relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Billy's a pretty honest guy. And he's not one that is good at, let's say, lying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she starts asking him questions about where he's going, whether he's going to go after this Chris guy, whether he's going to go somewhere to hurt himself. Maybe he's just going somewhere to think,
mm-hmm.
right? Or maybe he's going to confront his ex-girlfriend. He might not want this person that's been in his life for 8 years or more to ask questions. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's why he would leave the dog with Roy, because Roy's not going to ask that many questions. And if he does, it's like, well, I'm just going up. I came up with the story. I'm looking for a car. I'm going to be gone 3 days. Do you mind helping me out? Yeah. Good. I'll help you out.
Right. No, and I agree with that.
No questions asked. But if you ask, hey, can you take the dog? Your ex-girlfriend's going to go, yeah, where are you going?
Right. I'm going to go up north and look at a car.
But maybe that doesn't work with her. Right. So that's all I'm saying.
No, and I agree.
And Billy would know that more than me or you would.
I agree. And what I'm saying is, if the story of him leaving the dog with Roy is in fact true, then that was purposeful by Billy. There was a reason for doing such. And it was either he was in a hurry or he was felt he needed to hide or conceal something from the ex-girlfriend.
Right, right.
So before Billy dated Madeline, the one that he had all the problems with, you know, they recently broke up.
The one with 5 kids, the one that was 16 years older, the one that was cheating on him with Chris.
Right. He was involved in an 8-year relationship with Mary Ellen Noble.
Mm-hmm.
They had known each other since high school. They said that their breakup was a mutual decision and that they remained close friends right up until the point Billy disappeared. The last time that Mary Ellen saw Billy or spoke with him, she said Billy was sad about the breakup, but he also seemed fine, and that the two of them actually made plans to go to Six Flags, to the amusement park, the next weekend. And Mary Ellen quoted Billy as saying, "The last words he said to me were, 'Don't forget Saturday. Don't forget. Don't forget.'" You know, Billy would not have, this is what she points to as Billy would not have committed suicide, bringing up that he had something that he was looking forward to, according to her. Now, in a missing persons case, we really only have one side of the story of what the missing person was like. The family generally controls the narrative of what the person was like and what was going on in their life at the time, who they were close with, what their plans were, what they were, you know, into or likely or not likely to do.
Right.
Billy's family has been more involved than most in the investigation into his disappearance. They paint a fairly rosy picture of him. According to the Smolenskis, Billy was a really caring, giving guy who would drop everything to help someone in need. He had a tattoo on his arm that was the name of a friend who had passed away. Mm-hmm. And they said that Billy was a creature of habit. He loved his truck, his motorcycle, his dog, and his girlfriend. He was an avid snowmobiler and fisherman, and he drove in demolition derbies sometimes on the weekends.
Yeah, those are, I actually had an old student that did that. It was a lot of fun to go watch. And they would create, you had to create the vehicle and then just go smash it up.
Well, Billy was described by both family and friends as an incredibly hard worker who always showed up for work and took very little time off.
Well, that's what makes me believe that he got laid off more than he got fired.
And as far as any of them know, he did not do drugs and he only drank occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but likely, Captain, we have to believe that there are other aspects to Billy's personality that we're not going to receive from the family.
Okay? Well, first of all, if I ever go missing, please tell the public that he was a curmudgeon, that he was a nasty man, and he was very mean and bitter towards the world. Please don't tell people that every time I walked into the room, I lit it up like roses and sunshine.
Well, according to media and some things that we can find online, there are several articles about Billy's case referring to him as a quote-unquote tough guy. And this seems to be in the context of he wouldn't let anyone push him around or he wouldn't take any shit from anyone. There are hints that he may have had a temper. There are several discussions online in which people claim to know for a fact that Billy was the type to get into barroom brawls. Another word that has been used to describe Billy is confrontational. Now, I only saw this a couple of times, but police reports indicate that Chris, the secret lover, told police that he had never had any interaction or trouble with Billy, but then admitted after continued questioning that Billy had in fact broken the windows on a bus owned by Chris several months earlier. Madeline stated in court documents that she thinks Billy suspected something was going on between the two of them for quite some time before it was confirmed on the Florida trip.
Well, let's be a little clear right now. This Chris guy is a cheater, right? He's married, right?
Right.
Cheater. And he's a liar. I mean, how many times? He gets three calls from the guy that goes missing. I don't know who he is. Right? And then after more questioning, yeah, we had some run-ins with each other. So I don't know if he's involved, but I know he's a liar.
Yeah, but the thing here is with these broken windows, it may just simply be a situation where he thinks Billy is a likely culprit and doesn't really have anything to go off of. And it might not be Billy at all. Billy broke these windows. And Billy, in all fairness, may not have done that.
Well, no shit, because 2 seconds earlier, you didn't have any confrontations with him. That's what I'm stating. It's hard to believe anything that this Chris guy says.
Well, one thing to point out that Billy might have been confrontational, or at least to the point of him not taking any shit from anybody, would be the fact that...
Take no shit. We'll take a little shit, but we're not going to... Take no shit.
Well, yeah, but the thing would be that we know he left the threatening voicemail on Chris's phone.
Right.
You know, we have this confirmed by his family saying, yes, that is his voice on that message. The local newspaper and Billy's family believe that having heard that message of you better watch your back at all times, that after that message, Billy possibly had set out to do something to Chris or to at least confront Chris, and that something bad had happened in that process. Billy's father, Bill Sr., said, quote, Billy wasn't one to start anything, but if someone started something with him, he would finish it. This time it looks like someone got the better of him. We have so much more to get to in the search for Billy Smolinski. Join us back here in the garage tomorrow. Until then, be good, be kind, and don't litter.